So here in 2 Peter, chapter 18, Peter is talking about Christians who have fallen back into the world, fallen back into sin. Yes, it happens. If you've been saved a while, you probably know of Christians that this has happened to. And this is Peter's warning. Remember, Peter had been through a similar experience himself, hadn't he? When he denied the Lord, turned his back on Jesus. But he was restored and became a great preacher and church planter for Jesus Christ. So Peter had been through it himself. So notice in verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." So I'm entitled today, Again Entangled. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your precious word, the privilege to open it together this morning and hear from the Holy Spirit. May your will be done in each of our hearts. Lord, may we listen as the Holy Spirit speaks to us personally today. May you guide us in your truth. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. And we love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Earlier in the passage, it talks about worldly people, followers of the devil. And it says there in verse 18, they speak great swelling words of vanity. The devil leads a lot of Christians astray, but he usually does it with people. Most of the time, he uses other people to do it. People who sometimes can speak well. Great swelling words of vanity. But notice it says through that they allure. That word allure means to entrap or to entice through the lusts of the flesh. It's always the flesh trying to appeal to the lust of the flesh that they try to lead Christians away from the Lord. It also says through much wantonness. That word means unbridled lust. It says those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Now that word wantonness, if you go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 13 quickly, it's a good description of today's society, isn't it? Wantonness, unbridled lust, just basically whatever the flesh wants. Romans 13, 13, let's turn over there if we could quickly. Notice it says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." We're warned in advance, be careful. Don't make provision for the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh is always wanting to lead us astray. And the devil uses the unsaved to come and tempt us with what? The lust of the flesh, much wantonness, trying to lead Christians into sin. Remember a couple weeks ago, we looked in Galatians 5. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:16. And then go to 2 Peter 1:4 quickly if you would. You're already in 2 Peter, but chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Through Jesus Christ, we've already escaped. Praise God. We already have the victory in Jesus Christ. But that old flesh which has been crucified, It doesn't just go away, does it? And the world comes along through what? Luring through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, and tries to say, let's go back. Let's go back into serving the flesh. Let's go back into sin and lust. And that's what it says here in verse 19 of chapter 2. They promise them liberty. You know, the devil always tries to come across as the good guy. He never shows up and says, hey, I'm here to make your life more miserable. He doesn't do that, because then we would just turn away, wouldn't we? But instead, he comes along and says, you know, you are living under bondage as a Christian. All those commandments that you have to follow. Following Jesus and living that narrow road. You know, you need more liberty. You need more freedom in your life. You need to be able to just go do whatever you want to do. But they promised them liberty. Notice it says, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They're coming along and saying, I'm promising you more liberty, when they're actually in bondage themselves to sin. But that's what the world does. It always makes many promises that it will never keep. Remember when we looked at Pharaoh recently? All those times he promised Israel, yes, I'll let you go. Then he didn't let them go. Yes, I'll let you. Then he didn't let them go. And the devil hasn't changed. He's always coming along and saying, how about some liberty in your life? Let's go back into the lust of the flesh. Let's go back into wantonness. Notice verse 19. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. The devil wants nothing more than to lead Christians from the freedom they have in Jesus Christ from sin back into the bondage of sin. And what's sad is we've already been delivered. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 6. We've been delivered through Jesus. We have the victory. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the precious Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. And Satan says, let's go back into bondage. Sound familiar? Remember the Israelites? After they had finally been brought to the border of the Promised Land, and they heard about the giants and the walled cities, and they said, let's go back to Egypt, where we were in bondage for 400 years. Let's go back. And the devil says, let's go back to bondage. Notice Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Look down at verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. We are free. Yes, we have liberty in Christ. We're free from sin. But the Bible says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We have liberty in Christ, but we don't have the liberty to sin. We don't have the liberty to serve the flesh. We don't have the liberty to go and participate in the lust of the flesh, or in, as it says here, much wantonness. We don't have that liberty. But we do have liberty from the law. We have liberty from bondage. And the devil comes along and says, no, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to all those commandments, all those do's and don'ts. You need some liberty in your life. Let's go back into sin. Let's go back into bondage. But my friend, you are free. Let's look at verse 20 of 2 Peter 2. If, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, after we're saved, we've escaped the bondage. We've escaped the pollution. When Jesus saved us, he rescued us. Not only from hell, but even rescued us from sin here on earth. He gave us the victory. Now, we all understand that when we got saved, we also received eternal life. Amen? That's eternal. It's forever. You can't lose something that's eternal, or it wasn't eternal. We became children of God. Praise the Lord. We became part of God's family. God doesn't rip us back out of his family when we sin. That's good news. When we got saved, every sin was forgiven as far as heaven goes. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:13 has forgiven you all trespasses. And we're kept by the power of God. And we're put into Jesus Christ. And we're sealed by the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption. I said all that to say we are secure in Christ. But we still have a free will. We can still sin. We can still, even though we've been rescued, even though we've escaped this pollution, we can still go back. And that was always our choice. Look at 2 Peter 1, 4. I think I already turned there, but let's look at it again. Yes, that word escaped. Whereby giving us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see that phrase, divine nature? The day you got saved, you got a new nature. Where'd that come from? The Bible says we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so God, our Creator, the Holy One, the Righteous One, moved in and brought with Him a new nature. And now we have two natures. Before we were saved, we just had one, which was the flesh, the old man. Now we have two. Now we have the old man, which is crucified, but we have a new nature. Notice it's a divine nature. That means direct from God. It's divine. And that is the nature that God wants us to live and to feed, of course, through the Word of God and through prayer and being in church and so forth. But that flesh is always there, niggling at us, saying, yeah, you've escaped, but let's go back. Just like the Jews, you've escaped Egypt. Let's go back. And they tried, by the way, but it didn't work out. If, verse 20, after they've escaped, they are again entangled. You know, we're told as soldiers, if you go to 2 Timothy 2:4, to never get entangled again. You know, when you think about a soldier, he does everything he can to be the best soldier he can be, to make sure that there's nothing hindering him from being able to fight. And that's what it says here in 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please whom I have chosen him to be a soldier. That's what a soldier does. He makes sure that there's nothing entangling him from being efficient. Well, my friend, you're a soldier. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. And we do have liberty in Christ, but we have the liberty to serve Christ. 1 Peter 2:16, turn there quickly if you would. 1 Peter 2:16. And look what it says. As free, that's us, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. You know, 20, 30 years ago, this big movement came out called the Grace Movement. It's kind of faded, as movements do. But it basically was this teaching that, listen, it's all under grace. We're saved by grace. We're living the grace of God. Don't put yourself under bondage to all those silly commandments. Just, you can do whatever you want. You have grace now. The only problem with that is it's just not true. God still hates sin. And we're never to use our liberty, verse 1 Peter 2:16, as a cloak of maliciousness, as a cloak, as an excuse to go off and serve the flesh, to serve sin. He says in 2 Peter 2:20, the latter end is worse than the beginning. You know what? You're just asking for God's chastisement. If you choose to listen to the devil and get entangled with the affairs of this life, entangled with lust, entangled with wantonness, listening to the devil, going back to what Jesus has already rescued you from, you know, you're just asking Jesus to step in and chastise. It's on its way. 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn there, verse 31. The Bible tells us that we need to be constantly judging ourselves in light of Scripture, comparing ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the devil's leading us back into bondage of sin, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stop before it's too late. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Oh, that's 2 Corinthians 11:31. It says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." God has a testimony to protect. Amen? We are His children. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives. We claim to be Christians. The last thing God wants, verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 11, is that we be condemned with the world, that we act like the world. So we're to be constantly, as it says in verse 31, judging ourselves in light of Scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit, because if we don't, verse 32, we're asking for chastisement. God's going to protect His testimony. And some Christians need to come home like the prodigal son did. "It's happened unto them according to the true proverb," verse 22, "the dog is turned to his own vomit again." If you've ever had a dog, you know that's something dogs do. It's a dog thing. "And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Well, that's a pig thing, isn't it? You can give a pig a bath, but you've just wasted your time, because it's going to jump right back in the mud. They love the mud. And he says that's what we look like to God when we listen to the devil and the world comes along and tempts us with lust and wantonness, and we say, "Yeah, I'm going to go back into the bondage of sin. I know it sounds stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway." That's what we look like. We look like a dog eating his own vomit. We look like a pig who's had a good bath and jumps right back into the mud. And since God made the dog and God made the pig, I guess it's okay for Him to use them as a comparison, isn't it? He made them with the nature that they have. He says in Proverbs 26, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Proverbs 26:11. So Peter here warning Christians, don't get entangled again in lust, in wantonness, in sin. And by the way, the temptation to get entangled again doesn't just disappear. It will always be there. But if we don't feed that divine nature, we are more susceptible to those temptations. That divine nature, the Holy Spirit is there, but He can be quenched. He can be grieved to the point where we can't hear Him because of sin. And when that happens, we're just ripe for the devil to come along, send somebody to come along and say, "Let's go back. Let's get re-entangled in sin. Jesus has delivered us from sin, but let's go back." How foolish. Even though we have complete deliverance, we have escaped, as we read, the corruption. We have complete victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But the devil never stops, does he? Like we talked at family camp. He's just going to keep tossing those darts. So what do we need to do? We need to be in the Bible. We need to be on our knees. We need to be in church. We need to be putting that armor on, because the devil's not going to stop sending people along who are going to say with great swelling words, as we saw in verse 18, "Let's go back. Let's go back into lust. Let's go back into sin." And the flesh says, "Yeah, let's do that." And that's when we need to say, "You know what? I'm God's child. And I'm going to act like it." Amen? And I'm not going to get again entangled in sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I pray, Lord, that we would be on our guard as the devil is constantly tempting us to go back into sin. I pray, Lord, that we would be on our knees, we would be in your word, we would be in church. Lord, we'd be putting that armor on every day, knowing that the attacks are going to keep coming. And I pray, Lord, if the devil has tempted us and we've listened and we've gotten tangled, Lord, that we would come back to you with repentance and deliverance and get back to serving you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize they must be born again, and may today be that day for them. We love you and thank you in Christ's name.